Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name, and we just ask you, Lord, just to continue to speak and continue to minister your will tonight. Everybody that came in these doors, I pray that you would touch them, that you would have leadership over our time together, and that Jesus would be glorified and magnified in Jesus' name. Amen. Londa couldn't make it tonight as well, so pray for her. There's a lot of people that ran into a lot of things, and so if you're here to hear from her, I hope I don't disappoint you. Well, I wanted to focus as I was praying tonight. I found out I was speaking about in the middle of the afternoon, and I was just asking the Lord during that time, what do you want to focus on tonight? And I just really felt like he wants us to understand that one of his names is Jehovah Rapha, which is the God who heals. And what does that actually mean? Because of the different controversies, if you will, in the body of Christ in the West about healing ministry. You know, healing ministry sometimes brings a stigma with it. It has, just different thoughts, ideas. There's parts of the body of Christ that don't believe in healing ministry at all currently. And, of course, there's others that believe wholeheartedly in healing ministry, but sometimes the way they go about it, can turn people off or leave people not with a love feeling, but a kind of a feeling like they're not good enough to receive from God. And, you know, we've had all those kind of challenges. But healing actually is in God's heart. It's part of his personality. It's part of who he actually is, and it just flows from him. A lot of times, the Lord has led me out of a kind of a conservative background, and I went on a journey about in 2009, where I said, I don't really care what anybody's telling me right now. I want to understand God's heart for healing. And so I went on a journey of researching scriptures for myself, finding out, and basically what I learned is that Jesus Christ is our theology for healing. He is our perfect theology. And one of the things that Jesus often said in Scripture is that he doesn't do anything unless he sees his Father doing it. That's a critical component when you start to realize that, because you start to realize that Jesus himself is God's heart to humanity, whatever he did when he walked on the earth. He was revealing the word of God, the living word, but he was also revealing God's heart to humanity. And so I started to take the different beliefs and the things that people had taught me about healing, and I put them on the shelf, and I started to look into the life of Jesus to say, teach me about what you think healing is. And of course, Scripture has a wealth of information about who Jesus was and how he manifests the Father's will. Not just the Father's general will, but he manifests the Father's will in every behavior, deed, and action. I want you to think that way tonight a little bit. If Jesus is perfect theology, then how he responded to humanity, not only what he taught, but how he laid hands on the sick and they recovered, all of that was manifesting God's will. In Hebrews 1:1-3, it says, God, after he spoke long ago to his fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. So Jesus was there, basically the spokesman for the Father as the Father made the world. Jesus, you could say, Jesus spoke the word out. So he was there. And then verse 3 is the key verse for us tonight. And he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, the Father's nature. And he upholds things by the word of his power. And so look at that verse. I'm just going to read it again. Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of his nature. So, you know, Jesus revealed God. We know that. But let's look at how Jesus revealed God in what we would call healing ministry. John 1, 17 through 18, it says, "For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." And verse 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, but Jesus has explained him." That's very key. I mean, once again, there's another scripture that says Jesus explained his Father. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4 says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So, you know, I've just read three verses that say Jesus is the exact representation, the image, you know, the revealing of his Father to humanity. John 12:45 says, "He who sees me sees the one who sent me." And John 10:37 and 38, "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father." So Jesus is saying, hey, if you don't even believe me, believe the works I'm doing, because they're his works. And of course, Jesus, you know, just released this constant communication he had with his Father, and he released it to humanity. Well, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, flowed right through Jesus then. In Matthew 24, right before the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is preaching, and whenever, right after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and released into his ministry, he had come out of the wilderness, he's released into his ministry. This is what he kept preaching in Matthew 4. He said, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, this is a significant message, repentance. If I were to use the terminology for today's times, it means change your mind, because the kingdom of heaven is now here within your reach. That's basically what Jesus was saying. He was saying, you have to change the way you think, because my kingdom is now here. And then it says at the end of Matthew 4 that he healed the whole crowd. The crowd that he actually spoke the Sermon on the Mount to had just been healed by Jesus. I mean, there's no chapter breaks in Jesus' life. So he healed this crowd. He healed them all, it says. And then into Matthew 5, he begins to declare the Sermon on the Mount, to what his kingdom is really like, and so on and so forth. And so the healing flow of God is meant to be for us and a part of salvation in that understanding. And so, you know, a lot of people start asking the questions, well, why isn't everybody healed then? You know, if this is part of salvation, what in the, you know, and they say then, well, it mustn't be God's will to heal everybody if it's not part of salvation, you know, if people aren't getting healed. And the simple answer to that question is, it God's will for everybody to get saved. The Bible says that he's not willing that any man should perish, but do people perish? Yes, they do. Do they go to hell? Yes, they do. Much more than God would like, I'm certain. And in the same vein, you know, is it God's will for him to heal? And why aren't people healed? It's the same idea that's going on, because we're in a spiritual war. And there's a lot of reasons that we don't see healing, and some of them are unexplainable. We don't know, we can't describe why somebody gets healed, somebody else doesn't get healed, and so on and so forth. But we have to rest our theology not on man's experience. We have to rest our theology on Scripture and who Jesus is and who he said he is. Okay, if Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's will, then we must look at how he healed. I'm just going to read about four or five scriptures, and I'm going to go really fast, but I want you to hear how Jesus healed. Remember, he's the exact representation of his Father. So Acts 10:38, I believe this is Peter speaking. He says, "You know, Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, that is an important point. When it basically it's saying when Jesus healed somebody, it's describing what they were going through as oppression of the devil. Now, I didn't just say that. That's scripture right there. It's important to understand. John 10:10, Jesus said, it's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And so healing all who are oppressed of the devil is a very concrete statement from Scripture that tells us how God looks at what sickness is. Now, you know, people ask the question, can God do something good with somebody who's sick? Absolutely. He works everything for our good. It doesn't matter where it's coming, you know, if it's coming from the enemy that's coming against you, God will work that situation for his good. But we have to be very careful how we clarify who's coming from what. You know, it's kind of, Jesus said to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's in heaven right now? Is there illness in heaven? Is there sadness in heaven? Is there grief? And, you know, all these things, think about that. Jesus said, I want heaven. You pray that heaven would come to earth and that my will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, again, there's lots of spiritual warfare involved, so to speak, and allowing that to happen and bringing that forth. But we won't be bringing any sickness or illness with us from heaven to earth. It's the exact opposite. Jesus, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, it's by his stripes we are healed. And so, you know, again, just keep thinking. Jesus is perfect theology, what he revealed. Matthew 4:23-24 says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people, not one here and there, every kind among the people. And then it says in Matthew 4:24, the news about him spread throughout all Assyria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases, pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. You know, he didn't kind of weigh here, you know, that guy can be healed. That guy can't be healed because of the way his character is. That guy, it just said Jesus just healed them all. When somebody pressed in on Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She touched him and virtue flew, you know, came right out of Jesus into her and healed her. Now, Jesus was not even thinking about her, so to speak, and he said, who touched me? You know, sometimes we think Jesus was all-knowing prophetic gift that he knew forward and backwards, but that's not the way it was with him. He knew as his Father shared information for him. And in a couple places in Scripture, it says Jesus was surprised by his faith. You know, the God that we think is, he was never surprised by anything because he knew exactly what was going to, that's not the case. He marveled at certain people's faith and their response to him. Matthew 9:35 says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them and he healed their sick. Now, I want you again to think Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You know, if we were in the crowds 2,000 years ago and we pressed in on Jesus, would he heal us? I mean, it's pretty obvious because Scripture has a full weight. Jesus, when he was in crowds, he healed them all. And he had compassion on them. And large crowds came to him in Matthew 15:30. Large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. Now, I want you to try to think of the sights and smells and sounds of the crippled being pulled in. They did not have hardware to help. You know, there was people that would be dragged and being drugged through the dirt. You know, there's people that smelled, and they were all, as soon as they heard Jesus was around because of his fame, they would drag people with illness to him, and there wasn't any, you know, partial healings. There wasn't anything like that. Jesus cured them. That's what the Greek word says. Now, and so I could read, I have 15 scriptures here, 20, 25 scriptures of Jesus healing people like that and healing all of them. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit. So I'm working on the premise that Jesus is perfect theology, that he revealed his Father's heart for healing, and that there's a healing flow from heaven. And then now we got to, you know, let that come in, rest into our culture, and then and start letting people tell you about why God heals and doesn't heals and all the different opinions and belief systems out there. And the reason I'm sharing this is I'd want you to just consider that not to rest somewhere because somebody told you that, not to rest on somebody else's experience. I want you to keep going with God, no matter what you see. That's why we have to operate by faith and not by sight. And so Jesus, when you study how he healed people, how he healed single people, now not in the masses, but single people, he often engaged them. And there's so many scriptures about he had them do something. And so a Greek word, and 90% of the scripture when it says that Jesus healed him or her or healed somebody, 90% of the instances, that word from the Greek is called therapeo. And that particular word therapeo is where we get therapy from, the English word of therapy. Now, that's very interesting if you start to consider that. What does that mean? So when Jesus is healing people and healing all in crowd, he's therapizing them or whatever you want to say. He's giving them therapy. It's very unique to understand this particular word. And this will help us in our culture with healing ministry. Because so often we're expecting, when we lay hands on somebody, we want to see a sudden instantaneous miracle happen. But what happens with Jesus is he actually had the cure, so to speak. Another word that was used for healing, he had the cure. When he touched somebody, he turned their situation around inside. And that doesn't mean that there was instantaneous results all the time, but what happened is over a number of days, people would get better or that kind of thing. That's what therapy means. Now, therapy in the context that we're using, it means that we always have a response to it. So Jesus in his healing ministry always seemed to require a response from the person being healed. For example, you know, the blind man crying out to Jesus. And in essence, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Or Jesus would say to somebody, "Stretch forth your hand." He didn't just come up to them and touch their arm and say, "Be healed." He said, "You stretch forth your hand," and then he responded. That's what the word therapy is used for, where you have to do something. You have to respond to it. And so it's important to realize that, because so often we quit in laying hands on the sick because we want to see something immediately, and we don't like the stigma of putting your hands on somebody for healing and not seeing something happen and having to explain it or anything like that. I remember a time on Sunday morning one time three or four years back, worship was going, and I felt the power of God and a lot of things. And all of a sudden, I just heard the Lord say, "I'm going to heal some backs right now. I want you to say that. Call it out like a word of wisdom or word of knowledge." And so I said, "Well, God wants to heal backs right now, you know." And so, you know, I just spoke it out, and then we had some more worship. And then, you know, normally I'd like to just go on and, you know, not even think about God. Said, "I want you to ask who God healed." Well, that's risky. You know, it's kind of a risk to take with that. And so I asked who got healed, and there was three or four hands shot up. And I was like, wow. But inside, I had doubt. I thought people are just being kind, you know, and all those kind of things. And so, you know, we took the mic down to them and said, "You know, what happened to you?" "Well, I had pain completely, and I couldn't do this, and now the pain's completely gone, and I can do this, you know." And you know, it was kind of, I was kind of, you know, on the mic going, are you sure? You know, are you sure? You know, and all of a sudden the Lord said to me, this is what he said to me. He said, why do you keep asking them? He says, you're going to start to create doubt that I've done something. And he said, it's not their doubt, it's your doubt. You see what I mean? And so it was like, you know, I learned something that day. God wants to do this stuff. I remember another time, the ease of healing. This was several years ago, but we were doing a healing service on a Tuesday night, like kind of like we're doing now. And I had three specific words of knowledge going into the meeting. One of them was a long-term knee condition. And there a man responded to that, came up to the front row, and I'll never forget it. He said, I'm the guy with the knee. And so I said, okay. And so I prayed for him. I put my hands on him. I prayed for him, a little simple prayer. And he just looks at me, and he stood up, and he tested it out, and he sat down again. He said, the pain's gone. And I said, really? You know, it's kind of back in the time when this is on. He goes, no, his pain's gone. He said, I've had this for 30 years, and it's gone just now. And you know, at the end of the day, is any of this hard for God? Absolutely not. And if Jesus is, you know, for that man, using the idea of therapy, using the word of therapia from the Greek, if Jesus is doing that and he wants a response, all the response that man had to do is respond to the word of knowledge that God wanted to heal a knee. You see what I'm saying? He responded to that, and it was just that easy. And that's, so there's a lot of things that we need to do. Sometimes we pray for people, and then we don't ask them to respond to that. Have you ever been in a meeting where somebody says, you know, I have a frozen shoulder or something, and they pray for the frozen shoulder, and then they just let them go? And, you know, the idea here is you might not have done enough. You ask them to move the shoulder. You ask them to respond in faith to what God wants to do in their life, so to speak, that there's a response that they have. And then also, because you carry within you the power of God, so to speak, you carry the cure within you. If you're laying hands on somebody that has a long-term condition that is impossible for doctors and natural means to heal, and you lay hands on them, you have to begin to believe that you have that power, and you're releasing that into them. And so often people leave and you never find out exactly what happened to them. And we've had those situations happen in Voice, where we've had people in services like this, and they're not normally churched, and they don't know. You know, we often think if somebody gets healed suddenly, they're going to dance and shout and scream, and everybody's going to rejoice. And well, people that aren't church don't know how to do any of that kind of stuff. They actually believe when you say Jesus wants to heal you. And when they're, you know, we had a guy that had lost his job, had come in to the Joseph Storehouse. And back when we were giving food out to people during the economic downturn. And, you know, he was totally unchurched. And he had a crippling arthritic condition, and he had lost his job. And so he came in. And he received prayer from some of the team. I can't remember who it was, Ethel, and I don't know, it might have been Lorna or somebody else. And you know, he walked out in pain. That's how it was. An irreversible condition, medically speaking. And then he showed up 2 months later, and he happened to catch one of the team, and he said, hey, do you remember me? And no, nobody remembered him. You know, it was kind of one of those things. And he said, I'm the guy that, you know, he just said to the team member, I got my job back. And they're like, well, that's great. You know, we didn't think anything of it. And he says, I'm the guy that had arthritis. And he said that he went home that night in pain, but by the second night, oh, he woke up and all the pain was gone. The arthritis was gone. He walked back in and got his job back. He didn't have to go the way the medical field. And he didn't, you know, the next day come running back and tell anybody. He just said, that's what you said. God would do for me. And that's what God did. It took him a couple months to let us know, but that he doesn't know what it means to be a testimony and so on and so forth. And so the idea is that we are consistently releasing the healing word, the healing anointing, however you want to say it, because the Bible says that all believers have this ability. We can all prophesy. We can all hear from God for somebody. And we can all lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so what do we do if somebody doesn't recover right in front of us? Leave them with a love deposit. It's really not that big a deal if you think about it. There's a couple of times where in public I felt the Lord to stir me to minister to people. And I've had a couple people say, no, you know, I had this one lady, the Lord kept telling me, go find her and pray for her. And I was working up the courage and finally I followed her outside the restaurant and I caught up with her and I said, ma'am, can I pray for you? And she said, absolutely not. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, God, what are you doing? You know? And then another time, I've shared this before, but another time, you know, I followed a guy around dressed in Harley Davidson attire, and I kept feeling like God wanted me to tell him that God, you know, God loves him. And I followed him around and I avoided him in the grocery store, and I thought, fine, you know, I was trying to work out of it, and I thought, finally, he's left. And so I went quickly to check out, and I hear rustling behind me. There he is, right next to me. I was like, oh, man. And I thought, I can't do this in front of the clerk. I mean, this is looks like a real tough guy, you know. And so, you know, I'm working on it, and so finally I go load my car, and there he is parked right beside me. So finally, you know, he backs up and his, you know, he's right there. And so I walked up to him and he rolls down his window and I said, sir, I just really feel like God wants me to tell you that he really loves you. And he goes, oh yeah? Well, whatever turns you on. And he rolls his window up and peels out of the parking lot. And I was so mad because of how long it took me to get courage up. And God, this is what God spoke to me. And he said, son, I'm giving him all kinds of messages right now. It does not matter how he's responding to it. He knows I'm talking to him. And you are just one more. And it's angering him, but I love that man, you know. And so it does. We got to get over, you know, the stigma of releasing the kingdom of God. There's going to be some rejection. There's going to be some things when things don't happen. But if that stops you, you will never take risks enough to see the power of God in action. You know, you just won't. You won't see healing unless you lay hands on people and begin to do it and realize that Jesus is a perfect representation of the Father's will, that God wants to release healing into this culture, into this world. You know, Revive Indiana, a lot of the groups are going out and praying for people, and people are getting healed and saved, of course, and a lot of things are happening. And so I just feel like God wants to stir us up in that regard tonight. Don't quit, so to speak. A lot of us, we have sometimes are barraged by such negativity around us that we start to back off of what the scripture says, and we start to buy into people's experience. Don't do it, because that's not what Jesus did. He kept looking at his Father. What are you doing? What's your heart? And God kept releasing healing all the way through. Okay. Let me just share for a minute or two, and then we're going to go into ministry. But I want to share for a minute or two on engaging God in healing and what that's really like. And the ups and downs of it. I mean, me personally, I have three kids, and you know, it's been a journey. And when I started to realize, you know, I looked at scripture from 2009, and what did that state? I started to realize that God wants to release healing because Jesus paid for it. He's already done it, right? And when else is he going to actually release healing that he paid for on the cross? You know, when time winds up, you know, he wants to release healing into our livelihood right now. Yes, he's going to heal us when we cross over, and his ability to do that, he paid for that too. But such a small portion of the body of Christ is actually releasing healing ministry. We just kind of exist, and we kind of put up with things, so to speak, and we kind of get complacent in seeking God in that reality. And so I just, one time I was praying and I felt the Lord say, it's by my stripes that I want to release healing. He said, that was an intense thing. You know, I looked up what actually happened. They tied him to a stake about this high. They tied his arms to a stake about this high, and then the lashes rips the flesh out, not to get too graphic, but to the point where he's almost dying because of loss of blood and all those kind of things. Jesus did that to pay for our healing. So when is he going to release it? I believe that as we walk into the end of the age, there's going to be more and more signs and wonders and healings and the gifts of healing that God's released into the body of Christ. But we have to engage God. And so, there's been times, like, for example, with my kids, I've prayed for them and they haven't got healed right away. In the past, when they weren't healed right away, then I would just default to, let's just do whatever, you know, we need to do medically speaking, which is still a gift of God. I mean, don't deny the medical help out there. All I'm saying is go to God first. And he can do a lot of things through the medical field, but at the same time, engage God when you lay hands on people and keep going is my point. I remember when my daughter, one of my worst fears, got swine flu. And for 2 weeks, she was pretty much laid up. And I was just, actually, Sue, I was distraught because it was one of my worst fears. Everything they had said about it and all that kind of stuff. And Sue actually prayed for me, and she said, she was, back then, she was a little bit more mild-mannered, and she, not so vocal, and she said, Dave, I think God wants you to operate in your authority more. And that night, then, I went home, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this flu. I commanded to come out of her, and she still had a fever, but her fever actually broke that night then. And I thought, that's neat. And then about a week later, our one-year-old got the he started to feel real ill. He had at 4 p.m. we noticed a fever, and I'm praying for him and praying for him, but he started to act really funny. So we took him into the doctor, and they said basically he's not getting enough oxygen, and they said all these kind of things could be wrong. And they tested him. Of course, he has a swine flu, and it's a one-year-old, and so it was dangerous, so to speak. And they said, he's going to be sick for 2 weeks. He's going to have the, a fever. It's going to go really high. It's going to be all these kind of things. And I'm listening, and I hate that feeling. I'll just be honest with you. I hate listening in a medical office, and they're telling me all the worst case scenarios. I can't stand that feeling. I couldn't wait to get out of there. He wasn't getting enough oxygen. And they said, we're going to let you take him home tonight, but if he hasn't improved at all tomorrow morning, we're going to hospitalize him. And so we went home, and we were supposed to get all this medication for all our other kids, the Tamiflu and all this stuff. And Steph and I are looking at each other, and we're saying, what do we do? We don't want to give Tamiflu to our healthy kids and to avoid this and to do this and all the stuff they told us to give. So we just prayed about it, and Steph said, I don't feel like we're supposed to give him anything. Let's just pray for him. That's not always the case. And so I remember her, it's midnight, and she's holding him, and he's real tired, lifeless, kind of, not lifeless, but just real sick. And I remember feeling just angry. And so I went over to him, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you're either a healer or you're not. I mean, this is how I said it. It was just a very raw prayer. And I said, I command this flu out of my son. In Jesus' name, get out of here. And then I said to Steph, I'm going to bed, because I just, I couldn't handle it. I was tired. And so I remember fitfully trying to sleep, and then waking up at 2 a.m. And I went out there, and I see my wife's hand going like this. And so I went over there. I thought, oh, what's wrong? And she goes, his fever just broke about half an hour ago. And I said, really, I felt his forehead is cool to the touch, you know. And I thought, wow, this is awesome, you know, because he'd only had a fever for 8 hours, so to speak. And so then, you know, we're like, okay, we're going to put him to bed. We put him to bed. And the next morning, he crawled out of his crib. He was at that age where he's finding his way out. Remember, he was really sick the night before. Crawled out of his cage and started running around the house playing with toys. And he acted like, you know, nothing was going on. And so we're like, well, what do we, you know, should we even take him? So we said, well, let's take him to the doctor anyway. So we drove all the way over to Elkhart and went in there, and it was a different doctor, but he had the file from the night before. And he literally was like testing the temperature. His temperature was great. He's this and that and this. And he goes, huh, well, this isn't the same child from last night. He's not even sick. I don't, you know, I guess you don't have to go to the hospital, you know, you can go home, you know. He had no concept, no grid for that. And from that point on, that's how we pray for our family all the time. No matter what we're facing, we don't take no for an answer. We just keep going in the direction of asking the Lord and operating in the authority we believe he's given us. So when our kids, now our kids are 11, 8, and 6, my 8-year-old son has two or three times, and even in the last year and a half, said, Dad, I woke up with a sore throat. I mean, he never complains. He goes, I had a bad sore throat this morning, and I just said, in the name of Jesus, sore throat, you go. And it went, Dad, it's gone. And he went to school, you know. We've had times where we've had to pick up our kids from school because they're really feeling ill, and we pray for them on the way home after we picked them up. And they get home, and they start running around the house like nothing's happened, and we take them back to school the next day. And we've literally been told, you know, because of the way he's feeling and the flu's going around, you know, it might be a couple days before you can bring him back. And we bring them back the next morning, they're totally well. And so, you know, the idea is this, is that for 2 or 3 years now, my kids have not had any condition for maybe more than a day, other than, you know, some colds and stuff like that for 2 or 3 years now. And it's because we're constantly saying, you know what, we believe God wants them well, kind of a thing. And so I'm sharing that not to talk about how I operate. I'm sharing that because I feel God's heart for his people right now. And there's some of you, worship team, why don't you come on up? We're going to go into ministry now. There's some of you that have given up just pursuing God for various things. You just kind of are living with it. Some of us have created a theology around our experience or somebody else's experience in our lives. And we just can't do that. I mean, I watched my dad die in 2003, and we all prayed for him in belief, and we wanted him to be raised up. He thought he was going to be healed, and he wasn't. But we don't stay there and say, we've got to reinterpret scripture based on my dad's experience. I didn't do that. The Lord came to me when I was driving home from that, and he says, son, basically, you're either going to get bitter or better. And that's the bottom line. We have choices that we have to make in our pursuit of God. If it's for emotional reasons or for our marriages or whatever seems impossible, God's either the God of the impossible or he's not. And that's the point. He wants his people to stand up in some of the things that are coming against us in our lives and use the authority he's given us and say, no more of this in Jesus' name. And God says, I will back you up with this stuff. I mean, that's what his heart is. And so tonight, we're just going to open the altar. It's wide open. I mean, we want to pray for you if you need physical healing, emotional healing. It doesn't matter what it is. If you need to come back to the Lord, you need a touch from him. You need to talk to him. It doesn't matter. We got a lot of people that can minister to you tonight. And I just encourage you to begin to come. God might say a couple other things along the way here. But let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, I ask you tonight for revelation of every person in this room of one of your names, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Lord, I ask you that we would begin to believe the impossible again, that we would begin to believe that we are conduits of your kingdom, that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I ask you that you would release a healing anointing in this room right now. Lord, for that you would mend broken hearts. Lord, that you would remove disappointment from people's lives. Lord, some in the room that have hope deferred, it's made their hearts sick. Lord, I ask you for an excitement about what you want to do in their lives tonight. So Lord, we just release the Holy Spirit to move in power right now. And Lord, that you would just have your way. In Jesus' name.